Recently on the Wastewaters podcast, you heard my dad say...
What you want to do in your supporting photo is have kind of the landscape, the pedestrian access, whatever it is, another POI, something in the background that includes the POI that shows where the POI is. Hello, agents, trainers, pilots, keepers, eighth wallers, and our beloved explorers and wastefinders, if I can talk today. Welcome to episode number 109 of the Wastewaters podcast. Here at Wastewaters, we want to do everything we can to help you become a better wayfinder. And as I've always said, we want to educate, entertain, and excite. Wastewaters is brought to you by the good people at the Pokemon Professor Network, and today is Friday, February 16th, 2024. We made it through Valentine's Day. Looking forward to a good show with some good conversations. But first, let me check in with my guy, Chris. Hey, man, what's up?
Not much, buddy. How you doing?
Good, man. How was your Hallmark holiday? Did you guys celebrate?
Not really. Yeah. No, we don't really do too much. I work afternoons, right? So
right.
We kind of went and had a coffee date this morning, and we're going to do some donuts tomorrow, and that's about it. How about you? Yeah. What did you guys do?
About the same. It was the kids had Valentine's Day parties and did lots of transporting from one place to another, and I don't know. I feel like Valentine's Day is like the holiday that you celebrate when you're like dating, but when you've been married damn near 20 years, it's kind of like, all right, you know, if I'm speaking to all the married gentlemen out there, every day should be Valentine's Day, so...
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, no, we didn't do anything special. Didn't go out and spend a whole bunch of money on a steak or, you know, fancy seafood dinner or anything. Just kind of hung out and, you know, with kids 14 and 11, you know, just more about them, you know, helping them with their Valentine's for their friends and taking them to this party and that party and hanging out and making sure all these little boys keep their hands to themselves and, you know, the important things you got to do as a father. So
that was that.
So I have been watching some movies lately and I got some quotes. Want to see if you're ready for this.
Bring it on, buddy. Bring it on.
All right, here we go. And go.
Eddie, not only is what you're saying not true, it's wrong and disrespectful for you to discuss Rosa Parks in that way.
Wait, hold on. Is this a barbershop? This is a barbershop, right? If we can't talk straight in a barbershop, then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else, you know? This ain't nothing but a healthy conversation, and that's all. That's from one of my favorite movies. Not my favorite movie, but it's a great movie. Barbershop 2002. I don't know if you've seen it. Kind of talks a lot and it kind of, you know, it really introduced what a barbershop was to a lot of the world who didn't grow up going into barbershops weekly, a couple times a week, kind of understood what the barbershop is, what the barbershop was, and what the barbershop can be. I think a lot of people saw that movie and were like, oh, that's why you go to get a haircut and you're in there for 3 hours because you and the fellas are just in there chopping it up and, you know, all the other things like that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's just kind of a place to kind of go and hang out. So I thought that was a good quote, given what we're going to talk about today and kind of some things that have been going on in the Discord and on the forums. And so everybody's probably wondering, like, all right, Jamal, what are you teasing us here? What are you talking about? And how are you going to tie that into Wayfarer? And we will tell you, but we won't tell you until we've gone into the news and you've heard the drop from our friend Testo.
And now, the latest Niantic news from the Wayspotters podcast, presented by the Pokemon Professor Network.
Okay, so there was an issue last Thursday. It started last Thursday where approved Wayspots were not syncing into Pogo. They fixed that on Wednesday, so it was about like a week. It happens sometimes when they start an event right before the weekend, and sometimes it breaks, and then you have to wait for the Wayfarer team to come back or the Pogo team to come back, and then they're dealing with event stuff, and sometimes it takes a while. So they fixed it on Wednesday. So if you didn't have any stuff sync over the weekend, that's why. Everything should be good now. I saw a couple of reports of, it's not like the Ingress thing where it's just not syncing at all. anything that was pending should have synced. So we should be good there. Let us know if you saw anything that didn't, and then we'll kind of help you reach out to the Wayfair team. Apparently, so this is a pretty big one that I tested this morning. Wayfair challenge rewards apparently expire now. And so I got a couple feelings on this. The email never said they were going to expire. We didn't get any notification saying they were going to expire. We didn't get any kind of posts saying, hey guys, these codes are going to expire in a week. Better use them.
Right.
I think it's pretty crappy.
It is pretty crappy. Before you go into that, we got an email from a listener named Michael. Yes. And that made us want to dig into this a little more. So I want to read this email from Michael. And Michael, thank you for reaching out to us and sending us an email at our email address, which is wayspotters@pokemonprofessor.com. That's a good place where you can reach us. So Michael sent us an email there, and I'll read it. It says, Dear Wayspotters, per the Wayfair forums, seems like the promo code awards from the last Wayfair challenge expired on January the 31st. However, nowhere did Niantic say these promo codes expire, let alone around a month's time. Because of the lack of transparency, a number of people are now out their rewards, even after putting in the time and effort to help Niantic. Would be great if you could call out Niantic on this, as well as suggest other folks redeem their future codes ASAP.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely. I think this is, for lack of a better word, bullcrap that people spent the time to earn these rewards to help Niantic with their map and to help their fellow Wayfarers, and now they're out these rewards. So right. Apparently, I saw on the forums, because I saw the post that Mike was talking about, apparently you can submit a ticket and they will grant you the rewards, but I would do that fairly quickly because I don't think that they'll do that for very long.
Right. And this is one of those things where we've talked about with Niantic that, hey, come on, a little communication. All it would have taken was one additional sentence. These rewards expire on January 31st. That's all it would. That's all it would take. And then if someone says, hey, I didn't get my rewards, go back to the post and say, hey, look, we told you it was going to expire on this date. Because when they do these rewards, if it's going to expire, someone had to put a line of code in to say the date that it was going to expire. So all it would take is just a little bit of communication, a little bit of forethought to say it's going to expire on this date, and then you're good to go. So, Michael, thank you for writing in, and we've put it out there.
I understand why they need them to expire. They can't have them floating around out there because then you have a million codes and it bogs down the system, right? But even if after the fact, even if they were like, oh, crap, we should probably make these codes expire, you got to say something. You can't just pull the rug out from under people. So,
right. Yep.
That's that. And, Hey, Dora. Apparently fresh off her appearance at the Super Bowl, Dora is here for a special announcement.
Oh, yeah, we did it! We did it! We did it! Hooray!
There appears to be a map sync coming to Pikmin Bloom. You heard that correctly. Pikmin Bloom.
Oh, yeah, we did it! We did it! We did it! Hooray!
Pikmin Bloom is getting a map sync. And I know a certain person who's going to be super happy with that. Probably lots of people.
Oh, yeah. For sure. 100%.
So they announced it kind of sneakily. They're like, hey, this is the stuff coming when we update the game again. Blah, 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 blah. Map sync, blah, blah, blah. And people are like, well, hold on. Hold on. Back the truck up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to try and slide that in there. I really, really hope that they actually pick a date that's fairly recent for this sync, and they don't just add like six flowers in Hoboken, New Jersey.
That's you know what I mean? Yes, I agree. I think hashtag justice for Pikmin Bloom has been waiting for this long enough, and they need to do it the right way to make sure that, because I mean, they could just say, oh, as of January 1st, and do the map sync then, and it's kind of like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, they're going to need to like go back and like do some research on this. So maybe they should call Sarah Amanda and say, Sarah Amanda, give us a date.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she's got it written down on a spreadsheet somewhere on the date that they should pick.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're out there and you play Pikmin Bloom, take a screenshot of kind of your in-game map and then wait. I think they're doing the update next week. And then take a before and after screenshot, because we would love to see how this sync has changed your map. This is a long time coming.
Oh, for sure. A way long time coming. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, me too. I just really, 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 really hope they don't screw it up. Right. And it's not the Wayfarer team, it's the Pikmin Bloom team. So
right.
Fingers crossed.
But again, the right hand should know what the left hand is doing, and the company should be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. So, you know.
I think sometimes the right wrist doesn't know what the right hand is doing. But,
this is true. You know. This is true. But we have said, to be fair, we have said that I truly believe that the Wayfarer team is one of the more capable teams at Niantic. Yes. I definitely 100% stand behind that statement. It would say it in front of the other teams if they were sitting here in the room with me. So I truly feel that. Yeah.
100%.
That being said, y'all messed up on the codes. Like, you got to eat that one. You got to own that. Yeah. You got to eat it and fix it. Like, that was bad. So yeah.
Yeah.
I would have been like heated. Now, granted, Chris, I'm the kind of guy that like redeems codes like the second I get them. Like, I can't wait. I'm just too impatient. But then again, you and I host a weekly podcast about Wayfarer. So, we kind of need it for show content and, you know, other stuff. But whenever I get a code for Pokemon or Ingress, I don't know. I'm just the redeemer right away guy. But if Wayfarer is something you don't do all the time and you're like, oh, I'll get to it, I could see it. But at the same time, if it never told me it was going to expire, that would be just a tad bit frustrating. It would be like buying a lottery ticket, right? You buy a scratch off and it's like, oh, I won $2. And it's kind of like, that's cool, but it's more of a hassle to go to the store to get the, it's going to cost me $2 in gas to go get the $2. And then one day when I'm at the grocery store, I'm like, oh yeah. And I pulled the lottery ticket out and they're like, oh, that expired 4 days ago. And I'm like, what? Never said that.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on with that? It's like, you know, it's like a coupon or something. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But
no, I completely agree.
Yep. So excited about hashtag justice for Pikmin Bloom. And that's where we are.
That's all I got for news.
All right. All right. That's all you got for news. So are you ready to get into our first topic?
Yes.
Topic number one.
All right. So topic number one, and for transparency, we probably are only going to have one topic today. We had a couple topics picked out, and as we were going through our pre-show prep, we realized we didn't want to have a two-hour show, so we kind of killed the topic. So if you guys really love topic number one or topic number two, we'll have a bonus topic next time, but there's something that I wanted to kind of jump into. As I said in the open, posted something on the forum earlier in the week. And you know me, I submit something. It gets denied. I get my feelings hurt. I kind of turn into Drake and, you know, go into like this mode. And then I post something on the forums and get everybody all riled up. And then I have a topic for the show. So let me just jump into it this way, Chris, and say, you know, we always try to be authentic here on the Wastewaters podcast. We like to have a good time. We do. But at the end of the day, we try to deliver to everyone who's watching and listening good, solid, truthful information. And then we try to give you our opinions. Now, my opinions may be different from Chris's, and they may be different from what we say as a show, what we advise you to do. So, as you guys all know, I will nominate some wild Gen Z stuff that I never tell anyone else to do. Just for the giggles, strictly for the giggles. Last week on this very show, and hold me honest, I said that as a nominator, you really need to sell your nominations to reviewers. Why? Because that's the reality right now. That's the reality we find ourselves in. You have to sell your nominations to the people sitting behind their monitors and phone screens. Okay, hear me out. I believe there's a fundamental difference between writing a thorough and complete description and supplemental information and having to sell the nomination. Personally, I really don't like it, but here we are. Chris, I think we have a different opinion on this, right? I want to know what your feelings are about having to sell your nomination to get it through versus the nomination, the picture itself standing on its own.
So I think we differ a little bit here. I feel like there are certain things that you really just shouldn't have to sell, right? There's like, for me, a restaurant is one of those things that you need at least a little bit of effort in that. So here's go. I think there needs to be at least a little bit of effort in the supporting information, right? Like, I don't care if it's a slam dunk. You gotta put a little bit of effort, at least kind of come up with something clever or interesting, right? And like for a restaurant, like, I love restaurants. Everybody knows that I love restaurants. Mm-hmm. But you gotta tell me that it's a cool place or people meet there or it's like an interesting, like, you can't just go restaurant, right? Because that doesn't tell me anything. But we do agree that there are certain things that you really shouldn't have to sell, right? They should be slam dunks. Like, it's frustrating that this is the reality that we're living in, that you have to be this thorough to get things that are slam dunks into the game.
Right.
But, like, a little bit of effort. That's all I want.
Okay. Okay. I don't disagree with that. So this is how this whole thing got started. So recently I nominated a barbershop in my area of Charlotte, North Carolina, called In the Cut, a place that I've gone to for years. And much like the movie quote from earlier in the show, I've seen it as a place to go hang out, kind of like a community center. Want to get a fresh fade? Yep. Want to buy some bootleg DVDs? Yep. Want to get an honest opinion if LeBron is better than Jordan? Yep. Ooh. He's not, but want to see fathers and sons bond over a 90-minute time hanging out with the fellas? Yep. You could really do it all in a barbershop, especially a barbershop in a historically African-American community. So let's get to my nomination. I'm going to pull this up on the screen. So for those of you who are audio listeners, we are pulling up on the screen my nomination, and I would urge everybody to finish listening to the audio, then go over to the YouTube and look at what we have here. We have shorts and all these other things. So, you know, just depending on week to week, some will be a short, some won't be a short. So if you don't see your favorite short, just go to this part in the episode and find it. So I'll describe to our audio listeners what we see here, and for our YouTube videos, you see it. So it's a picture of the front of the barbershop. It's called In the Cut. And it's got, you know, the standard kind of, you know, light up sign outside with the barber pole on the left and then In the Cut kind of going left to right with the green awning. And then down below, you see the front of the barbershop with another barber pole on the doors. So I took the photo from kind of a little bit further away because I didn't want to have any faces shown. There's quite a few people in the barbershop at the time when I took it. The only time there's really no one in there is at night. And that's when it's really hard to get a good, accurate photo. And I know if you submit a photo at night, some people don't like those. And some people will one star you just because it's it. Anyways, I'm getting off topic here. So, and my description was local hotspot in the northwest side of Charlotte. Important cultural landmark, especially on Saturday mornings for fathers and sons. So, and I guess part of my naivete was I assumed that people viewing this would understand the nuance of a barbershop and would say, you know, of course, that's a, you know, a local cultural hotspot and, you know, would view it as such. And my supporting information and my supporting photo shows that it has good pedestrian access. It shows it's in kind of a strip mall area. And, you know, it's got the sidewalk and it's got the full view of where you can see. And this is also clearly visible on satellite. And it says, thanks for the view. In the Cut is a super local important part of this side of Charlotte, important to the community for gatherings and fellowships. So I think, Chris, that meets your, what you said just a few minutes ago, minimum expectation of a little bit of effort. It kind of explains what I'm doing here, what's kind of going on, and, you know, kind of why it's important. So what kind of set me off on this was rejected, and I used an upgrade, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it was rejected, and the rejection reason was generic business, generic store or restaurant. The real world location of the nomination appears to represent a general store or restaurant. Now, I know that second part makes your blood boil because just throwing restaurant in there just kind of, you know, harpoons everything that you were talking about earlier. But mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? This is not a generic business. This is not part of a chain. This is not a Supercuts or a Great Clips. Like, this is a place in this part of Charlotte where people come from quite a ways away to hang out with the fellas, get a haircut, and just kind of shoot the breeze. It's more of a cultural location than it almost is a barbershop. Because from time to time, Chris, I'd argue more people are in there not getting their haircut than are getting their haircut. And they just kind of come in there to hang out. So I was not happy with the result. And I consulted you, Chris, and I consulted a couple other people that we trust to give me some honest feedback. And I decided to post this on the forums to see what the masses had to say. So I want to go through a couple of the comments, and I want to get your thoughts. I don't want to do all the talking here. So I want to start off with what I posted on the forum. So if you want to pull that up, and I'll read it. And I said, "Hello, Wayfarer community. I'm reaching out for your help. I'm quite frustrated about a recent denial, and I want to get some feedback. If you don't know me, I'm co-host of the Wayspotters podcast with Glahantajar. Then P-G-O. Ooh. I got it right that time. Yeah. So I nominated a local barbershop in my city, Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a barbershop I've gone to for years. On any given Saturday, you'll see fathers and sons in there together, waiting to get a fresh fade or a lineup. The Saturday morning cut is kind of a rite of passage in the African-American community, especially in the southeastern United States, something I did with my dad and my older brother as well. I'm attaching a copy of the nomination for you all to see. The nomination was marked as generic business and summarily denied. If you listen to the podcast, I've talked about the horrendous backlog in Charlotte, so I won't dive into that here. But because of it, I used an upgrade to get more eyes on the nomination. I think this was an error. Not sure if people outside the area understand that the barbershop is an important place in the community, or it could be I didn't sell it hard enough because I didn't think I had to. Which brings up another point that I may talk about on the show. Should your descriptions be different if you're upgrading the nomination versus leaving it local? Something maybe we'll talk about later. So this is actually probably going to be topic number one or two the next time I do a show. Should you write your descriptions different if you're upgrading or not? Anyway, please look at the photos and give me your thoughts and opinions. I'm about 10 to 12 days from earning an appeal. I really want to appeal this one and have the Wayfarer team and look at it and give their feedback. So that was what I wrote on the forum. And Chris, if you wouldn't mind reading what the first response was to that. I believe it was from Wayfarer Ambassador Sea Princess.
So let me find it here. Sea Princess said, "I absolutely agree there can be significant culture around a barbershop in the African-American community. Same goes for AA beauty salons, where women might spend hours getting treatments or braids done. So let's talk about this. First rule of show, don't tell. I'm going to copy the first paragraph from Wikipedia because it explains it well. Show, don't tell is a narrative technique used in various kinds of texts to allow the reader to experience the story through actions, words, subtext, thoughts, senses, and feelings rather than through the author's exposition, summarization, or description." This is a big thing from writing a novel, and I'm learning this when I'm writing my book, so that's just an aside there.
Right.
"It avoids adjectives describing the author's analysis and instead describes the scene in such a way that readers can draw their own conclusions. This technique applies equally to nonfiction and all forms of fiction, literature, including haiku and imagist poetry, in particular speech, movie making, and playwriting." Which is fantastic. That's great. Mm-hmm. "As a reviewer, when I come across a nomination that says super important local part of, my brain asks, how is it important? How, anyone can claim a place is important or historic, but there needs to be some kind of proof of that claim. Think of the teenagers that submit things that were built in the 1990s and claim that they're old." Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, that does hurt. That hurts. That's a deep cut.
"Sure, a video game store built in the 1990s might qualify as old, but a library built in the 1990s is not old or historic. So how can you convince me that this barbershop is truly an important part of the local culture? I want to know the story behind the people who run it. Has it been the same family for a while? Did they start their barbering business in another location and move here when they outgrew the old shop or forced out by some evil corporation? Has this barber taught others the trade, served as a mentor to young people in the community? Does this shop provide low cost or free services to underserved people in the community? Right now, all you've done is told me that people come here to get their haircut. Fathers bring their sons. That's great, but how is it different from the barbershop that may be a block down the road or other end of this strip mall? Here's the thing. This place doesn't have a website. They don't appear to advertise on the internet for themselves. What does that tell me? Google reviews only has 90 reviews for this business. Makes me wonder how long they've been open. Or clients come here, don't really feel the kind of attachment to the business that drives them to give a great review. Yeah, I don't like that. Meaning the majority of their clients just see this as a place to get a haircut, not a cultural icon in the community. Here's another tactic you can use. If you don't have those kinds of details to share about the place, you can show the importance of barbershops in general. In that case, I would find articles on the internet, discuss it, and use points of language discussed in my nomination. I've done this for fire pits and break areas and corporate parks to explain the benefits of those bringing communities and office workers. This article has said, then she posts an article about like barbershops and stuff.
Yeah.
This article has great information about their legacy of barbershops and the importance to the community, especially since you've upgraded. There are a lot of people in the U.S. that might not know this history. That's true.
Yeah.
I would possibly even mention, as portrayed in the 2000 film Barbershop. Barbershop culture maybe referenced the famous barbershop from the scene Coming to America. So, a couple things.
Yep, I got thoughts. Show Don't Tell is
great. Show Don't Tell is great. 100%. Completely agree. I don't buy that it doesn't have a website. That's a lot of small local businesses don't. Mm-hmm. Because they're a small business and they necessarily can't afford it. Or, to me, that's irrelevant. If it's got a website, great. If it doesn't, oh well. Google reviews. I don't buy that either.
No.
Sure, they're great if you have them. If you don't, it doesn't tell me a whole lot.
I'll tell you this, Chris. I would never go on Google to look for a review for a barbershop. Just me. I'm going to go to the mall. I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to look and see other people's hair. Hey, I like your fade. It's nice and tight. I like the way your beard's lined up. What barbershop did you go to? And in the African-American community, that's the Google review. It's, I don't go to the barbershop and then go on Google like some people might for a restaurant or something. It's about walking around and saying, hey, when did you get your haircut? Oh, last week? Oh, that fade is holding up. Who's your barber? Where is it? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's applying an uneven, unfair standard to everything. And I appreciate C Princess. And she and I had a conversation about this offline. And you can't apply one standard to everything. And to be realistic, to be 100% realistic, Chris, I'm not doing all that work and going in and interviewing the owner and asking him all this just to get a point of interest on the map. It's like, what are we doing here? We're playing a game. Like you're asking people to do all this research when, like I said, a barbershop should stand on its own. A restaurant should stand on its own. The casual person's not out doing. I appreciate what she said, and I'm taking her feedback to heart, but I'm not doing this for every single nomination I do. I don't think you have to do this for every single nomination that you do. I think that sets up the reviewers to be gatekeepers, to say, if you haven't done X, Y, and Z, and you don't have this review and do that review, if you see something that belongs as a POI in the game, take a picture of it, nominate it, and if it's legitimate, put it in the game. I don't know, but we'll get into this more. But I just wanted to say that, and I know you had something else you wanted to say.
Yeah, and like for the Google review thing, like it's people that are far more likely to go and leave a negative review than they are a positive review, right?
Like, yes,
I do it because I enjoy going and giving companies the good reviews when they do good service, right? But the majority of people, and I'm pretty sure there's been studies about this, the majority of people will only go and leave a review if they're angry, right? So I don't put a whole lot of stock in Google reviews, especially if there isn't a whole lot. But like,
well, tell me this. So what if all the Google reviews are negative on something? Should the reviewer then not approve it because there's negative Google reviews? I don't see how that's relevant. So even if it's a restaurant and everybody's like, this place is terrible, don't eat here, but they've got a really cool mural on the side of their building, are you going to deny it because everyone says don't eat here?
Yeah.
you know what I mean? So I don't know. I appreciate, no, seriously, see, Princess, I know you listen to this. This is not a shot at you. I just don't know if I agree with that. And I don't know if it's valid for the purpose of Wayfair. I think if the nomination stands on its own, it should stand on its own.
I completely agree. I do think that this is one of those things that we're in that unfortunate spot that you have to sell this, right? And
yes,
it sucks that you do, but this is one of those things that it's culturally important to a certain group's culture, and that is not necessarily something that's widespread information, right? And that's kind of more a narrative on where we are as a society than anything else.
Yep, I agree.
Which is unfortunate, but kind of it is what it is, right? It's a necessary evil.
Yeah, so the next post, that is really small. Who's that post from? ENNEOCH?
Yeah.
All right. One thing that the Wayfair criteria and the community build struggle with is nuance. Editorial, I 100% agree with that. That is
an understatement.
That is probably, we could just like drop the mic right there and just stop. That is it.
Yep.
It continues. Consequently, there seems to be a relatively few categories where practically every nominee is accepted. Playground, public playground, sports field, church library, while a whole lot of passable of others will be fought for. Must be fought for. I suspect you are quite right that upgrading may have killed your nomination, but even if it remains localized, you are fighting against the attitude that your single case may open the floodgates. Okay, maybe this shop is all right, but what if all barbershops, beauty salons, manicures start being nominated? It seems that somehow almost every pub in England is eligible as a place to socialize, but there is some fear that if all locally owned social spots were potentially eligible worldwide, we would be overwhelmed. If all locally owned and operated places were treated like churches and playgrounds, would it be so bad? I'm kind of glad we don't see telephone poles and survey markers and mailboxes in-game everywhere, but I'm not exactly sure where to draw the line. Too long didn't read. Every social hotspot needs to be carefully crafted nomination so local reviewers can feel like they are allowing an exception. I'm not sure exactly why, though. All right, I have thoughts on this. So there's parts of this that I love for this response, and there's parts of this that I don't love. I'll start with the part that I love. I think we all struggle with nuance, right? We all look at things through our own bias, right? We all have a bias, and that just goes for life. That's just not for Wayfair. You walk out of your door, you see somebody walking down the street, you have an implicit bias that kicks in about that person, whether you want to or not, whether you are trained and educated not to have a bias, you do, right? You see a guy on the corner begging for change, you have a bias about him. When you log on to Wayfair and you see something, you have a bias. Some people have a bias that say, this nominator is trying to scam me. This is a fake location. I'm going to go through every single one of these with a fine-tooth comb because you feel like you've been burned. And some people who are more like me are looking to say, okay, this person's trying to add to the map. Unless there's something that's a huge red flag, I'm probably going to approve it. And then there's some people that are kind of in the middle. So what I don't love about this one is the statement is, what was the statement? Okay, maybe this shop is all right, but what if all barbershops, beauty salons, and manicures start being nominated? I have a problem with that. I thought we were doing Wayfair because we wanted to add things to the map. That statement there, and I might be taking it out of context, so if you wrote this, feel free to come back at me. I'm not coming at you, but I don't see a problem. Like I've said on this web, on this podcast before, I'm trying to put a POI in every S14 that I possibly can. Every single S14, I am looking for something to put in there, whether that's a barbershop or a post office or a little free library or, you know, insert eligible POI here. I'm trying to fill every single square in the map in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the surrounding metro area. So I am driving around looking for anything and everything that's eligible. So I push back on that because it seems like that statement is saying we want to keep things off the map. We don't want to put things on the map. We don't want too many pubs. We don't want too many restaurants. We don't want too many beauty shops. I don't see a problem with it. If there's something that is more eligible than what I'm nominating, get there first, beat me to it, and nominate it. I just, that's my issue there. I'll give it to you, Chris.
Okay, first things first, it's L17 cells.
We got
That's 14, remember?
I wanted to
correct you that before.
You're right. I got a little fired up.
No, that's fine.
L17.
I know there's people who are listening right now going, Jamal, we talked about this.
It's going to be three people. So, it's going to be Sarah Amanda. Yep. It's going to be Aquabass 64, and probably Testone will shoot me something on the side. But yes, L17. L14 is where the gyms are. L17. Yep. Thank you. All right, yep. Continue.
Okay. So I have a big, big problem with that statement that you mentioned there. Oh, what if, you know, if you approve this, why don't you just approve all of them? That's not how this works, right? Right. Just because I approve Jimmy's barbecue shop and restaurant and pub doesn't mean that every single McDonald's is eligible, right? If I approve your barbershop that's individually owned, a hotspot in the community, people somewhere where people go to socialize, that's one of the pillars, socialization. Is it a good place to socialize? Yes. Done. Game over. You win. Mm-hmm. Right? If I approve that, that doesn't mean that I'm going to go and approve every single Great Clips or like every single chain just because people go in there and maybe have a... That's not how this works, right? It's not a generic business. Line. Oh, as soon as you read that, because I hadn't read that comment before, I had to mute myself and I leaned back in my chair. So if you're watching, you're not watching the YouTube, I moved myself all the way back because I was like,
The hood came on.
and you've said this before, you cannot live your life and you can't do Wayfair getting hung up on what ifs.
Right.
Right. And if you believe, and if the nominator believes that this location is eligible, it's eligible in and of itself.
Right.
End of conversation.
Regardless of what's on the map around it. If that's legitimately eligible, approve it.
Exactly. Right. And you can't, you can't play this what if game. You're not opening floodgates to anything. If it's eligible, it's eligible. Mm-hmm. And if it changes the mindset of the general Wayfarer community to say, hey, look, Jamal got that barbershop approved. I'm going to go and have a conversation with my fellow Wayfarers about why that's eligible because I don't understand. And then you will learn something. And then the general Wayfarer community all learns that barbershops are a good place to be social.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are you creating... People are learning stuff about culture, about the people that they live with, the people that they work around, the people that hang out with, right? It's not even about Wayfair at that point. They've learned something about their fellow humans.
Yes. Yes.
And then they go, okay, cool. I understand that barbershops are a good place to socialize and Wayfair benefits. And as a society, humans benefit. Like, this is just... Oh, nothing bad can come from this. Oh, no. Right. So, like, a couple crappy barbershops get into the game. Oh, no. Like, is it really that big a deal? Like, come on. There's a by the Starbucks, by my house, there's a mural in a vape shop. Right? Like, should it be there? No. Are we going to remove it? Also, no. Like,
right. Oh. Exactly. Oh. Oh, you want to read the next one?
Worked up. What was the next one you've got? This one is from Scotty Reg. And he quotes, or it could be I didn't sell enough. So that was the line. He says, you didn't sell it at all. You just said it was important with no actual information. And important cultural landmark is a strange phrase to put in the description. That reads more like supporting info quote. And as for the supporting info, yes, you'll need to sell it. Can you provide some evidence that it's important to the community, e.g. some newspaper articles about it? Why?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not doing all that. I'm just not.
No, I can understand the need to provide context for why a barbershop, like a generalized barbershop, is important. Because, like I said earlier, it's an unfortunate reality that society doesn't kind of understand that. I do, right? Mm-hmm. But that is only because I've had people explain it to me, mm-hmm. right? Like I'm very white. So this isn't something that I would, unfortunately, naturally come across, right? Mm-hmm. So people explain it to me, right? And I watched Barbershop and I was like, oh, I get it, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a bar where I get my haircut. It's a barbershop. And it's run by a white guy. So it's a primarily white-ish, but it's the same thing. Like, people go in there and they hang out. Like, every time I go in there to get my haircut, it's the same, like, three or four people.
Right.
They're just hanging out there, mm-hmm. right? And it's somewhere where I go in, and I usually get there, like, 20, 25 minutes early to hang out with the guys because they're nice people.
Right, yep.
So I go, and I socialize. And you have a good conversation when you're getting your hair cut, and you kind of hang out for 10 or 15 minutes after and say, hey, you know, just hang out, and then I go home. But, like, there's people that they go there to hang out.
Yes. Not even to get a haircut. They just go there to hang out.
Yeah. Because they like the people that are there. And, you know, and I've gone in there and it's like the same three people are getting their haircut at the same time because they schedule their haircuts at the same time because mm-hmm. they like hanging out, you know, it's yep. just. So I can understand the need to kind of contextualize barbershops in general. I can understand that because.
Yes. But I think, Chris, some of the thoughts in the community right now, I believe, are dangerous. And I know that word sounds like really ominous, and Jamal, you're being dramatic. But if we're setting the standard that you have to have newspaper articles and Google reviews and all of these things to get something on Wayfair, I think we are setting the standard way too high. I'm not saying there should be no standard or you shouldn't have to explain anything. But if I've got to go spend an hour on a nomination to find a newspaper review that might not, a newspaper article that might not exist, like, that's just, I'll say it this way. And I think Niantic would back me up on this, and I'll tell you why. Now, Niantic hasn't said this to me, but this is me inferring, right? When they got rid of the test, remember the test that was like 10 or 15 questions long that was a barrier to entry for a lot of people? They got rid of the test and they went to this use your best judgment, and it wasn't a test. It was more of a, almost like a PowerPoint flow you went through, right? That was to open up the barrier to entry for people to come in and do Wayfair. I think Niantic would not want to see what is currently on this post about having to do more to get things in, but just explain what it is and why it should be in the game. Because I'm not going into every place that I nominate and asking them, hey, can you give me your life story about whatever business this is? Because, Chris, you know what? Two things. And I think I said this later, and I might be cannibalizing what I said in my summarization. But only a few people are ever going to see this, right? Mm-hmm. Niantic hasn't told us, and I've asked how many people it takes to get a nomination through to completion. I've asked them, and they've looked at mm-hmm. me, and they're like, nah, dog, I'm not telling you that, right? Like, you were there. You were there. Said to my face, no, not telling you that. Let's just say 100 people. Let's just throw it out there and say it takes 100. It does. I don't know. Let's just say it takes 100 people to get that through. So 100 people potentially are going to see all these newspaper articles and all these websites and all this. And when someone goes to interact with it in the game, they're not going to see it because it's in the supplemental information. No one is going to see it. So why am I working hard to satisfy 100 people when many more people are going to interact with it in the game? Somebody make it make sense to me because I'm satisfying gatekeepers at that point. I'm just going to say it. I'm satisfying gatekeepers. I'm not satisfying anybody else.
Yep.
So All right. Let me go on to the next one. All right. Oh, what do you know? This was me responding to Scotty Rigg. And again, Scotty, not coming at you, just being honest. I said, Scotty, I'm so really glad you said that. I really am. I have a legitimate question for you. How often do you read the entire descriptions of a waste spot, Pokestop, or portal when playing in the field? Let's say you spend 50 in one session. How many descriptions do you read? How many did you read today that you remember that you could type out for us? What am I selling? Why am I selling? What's the purpose? To make people on Wayfair happy? If the pitcher meets the criteria, why should the explorer have to sell the nominations to people who I lovingly respond to as gatekeepers? Please don't think I'm attacking you. I was waiting for someone to say what you said. I had this waiting. I think this might make the rant of the week on the podcast, but I'd really love to know how many descriptions you read today and did they meet your selling criteria? Thanks, Blame Jamal. So I was a little bit snarky there and I wasn't meaning to, but I actually wrote that response before I wrote my original post because I knew that was coming and I had that ready. I'm serious. I had that ready, copy and paste. I just had to change it a little bit for what he said because I knew that was coming. I 100% yep. knew that was coming. So
yep.
you can go to the next one.
That's funny because, you know, when you posted that, I was like, that's someone's going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 100%. This is from Inuk again. I think you two are talking past each other. Scotty Rigg seems to be saying you may need to add to your supporting info to sell your nomination to fellow wayfarers. Why should anyone need to do the sales job? Because we hope reviewers are going to take your nomination seriously and evaluate everything fairly. So we may try to make it easy for them to agree with us. Blame Jamal, you're right. You don't always need to have any text at all in the description. It is optional, so a solid nomination doesn't have a special inside story behind it. It can just stand there with the title and photo. It's a good idea to indicate which of the three pillars your candidate is supported by and to make sure dozy reviewers don't find it to be generic, impertinent, or whatever. I don't necessarily disagree with anything he really said there.
Yeah.
Or they said there. I do agree that the putting the which one of the three pillars is kind of good practice.
I like that. I might start doing that. I might say
I always
supporting
do.
Information. I might start calling that out. This satisfies this pillar. I actually really like that. I kind of missed that when I looked at it earlier, but I like that idea.
Yeah, that was one of the things that we missed when we talked about when we did our supporting info, because I do that for every single one, even like a playground. I'm like, this is good exercise and socialization just because I've gotten into the habit of doing it for every single one.
Right.
Just to help myself. Right. And like I just having to do a sales job just annoys me. You know what I mean? Like it's,
Well, I like what you said, give good pertinent information to explain to people what they're seeing, but I don't want to set an unrealistic expectation for people to be trolling the web and doing all this stuff for a nomination when I can go down the street, take a picture of a church and do local place of worship and no one's going to bat an eye. That's all I got to do. And I've done that. You've seen my nominations, local place of worship. That's it. That's all I put because I wanted to see what happens. Yeah. And it just zooms right through. But then I do something that needs a little more nuance and all of a sudden I got to get a newspaper article and go do a TV interview and, you know, do a YouTube short and post it and all this other stuff. But I'm like, if this was a church, I'd just put local place of worship and everybody would be like, sure. And just move right along.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating, but because we hope reviewers are going to take your nomination seriously. Like they should, you should take every nomination seriously until that nomination proves to me that it shouldn't be taken seriously. You know what I mean?
Yes. For sure. Like,
you should go in to every single review that you're doing, taking it seriously.
Yep. 100%.
That's just the end of the story, right?
Yep. All right. We have another one. This is from, God, I can't see who this is from. It's too small. My eyes
Cowan are red. 2016.
Cowan 2016. Cowan 2016 says, at Sea Princess, beautiful post. I'm 90% behind you, but that other 10% of me says, why do people have to work so hard to prove X and not Y? Anyone who plays Ingress, Pokemon Go, etc., can probably think of a favorite spot they visit daily. It's a picnic table, a gazebo, or something like that, that makes a great place to gather and social. Except the real world community must not think so, because you never, ever, ever see someone outside interacting with the game / POI. Yet those nominations are accepted at face value, not at real value. Restaurants, clubs, pubs are a bit harder to get accepted, but we all have, at the end of the day, had to review ones where unless you ate there or you're taking the submitter at their word, same could still apply here. At Blame Jamal. I would suggest describing a movie in your supplemental. Say that barbershops such as these are important to the African American community, and this one is similar to movie X of your choice. Maybe link to the movie description. One thing is if you're not from that culture, it's not what springs to mind. Your supplemental photo can have pictures / people in it. Looking through the glass, outside photo looks pretty plain and doesn't give the picture I'd be expecting to see of people hanging out or photos of the community on the wall. Whatever you do, don't use an upgrade. Your hope is to get a few reviewers from your local community that go, yeah, I've been there, seen that. It's piece of the African-American culture. There's a barbershop near me that I go to where I think about nominating every time I go in. I haven't counted, but there's 10 plus chairs in the place. Is hopping with witty banter, music, jokes, and culture from barber to barber, and customers sitting around. Every time I go in, I'm like, this is a place to gather to the max. From the outside, it looks very generic like yours. I thought about taking a picture inside for the supplemental to show off some of that feel as the walls are heavily decorated, but I didn't want to fess up to playing Pokemon Go as an adult in there. Bravo. That, yes, bravo. Oh, yes, that's fantastic. That. Amen, yeah. Amen. That's great feedback. That is really, really good feedback. One of the things that I will say is, and I don't ever like talking race or politics on the podcast, because that's not why we do this. We do this to have fun. But linking it to a movie is like saying every barbershop is the same. Every barbershop is alike. Every barbershop is like this movie or that movie. And it's not. And that's a little disingenuous. Right. And I know what the person was getting at, and I know they weren't going there. But the reason why I would never do that is because that kind of insults the spirit and the vibe of that particular barbershop. I mean, you could insert any restaurant or anything and say, oh, I saw this movie and this is just like this. And it's kind of like, it's kind of cringe a little bit. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Overall, I agree with what this person said.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. 100%. It's a great post. One thing I wanted to hit on is something I mentioned earlier, and they put it way better than I could have. One thing is, if you're not from that culture, it's not what springs to mind, right? So like if we were doing the Wayfarer Challenge, like when we were reviewing things in Singapore or in kind of one of them, those Asian countries, right? It's things that are culturally relevant to them might not be culturally relevant to me, or I might not know because I'm not a member of that culture and I haven't had somebody educate me, or I haven't done the education for myself to learn that, right? So if you're not from necessarily an African-American culture, you might not know. You might be ignorant. And I know people don't like it when people use that word, right? And it's not a negative word.
Right. It just means you're not knowledgeable on the subject.
Just means you don't know. And it only becomes a negative thing is if somebody tries to educate you and you tell them to F off because you don't care. It's a generic business, right? That's then you kind of cross that line. Now you're being ignorant. You're not ignorant. You're being ignorant. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and this is why, like we did those posts and those podcasts when we're just like, hey, we're going to be going to these Asian countries, or we're going to go to Spain or these European countries. Hey, people from that country, tell me what's culturally relevant to you that I should be approving, right? So I think that was kind of the one line that hit for me on that whole post. But yeah, it was great.
Yep. You want to read the next one?
Which one was the next one you
had? It was from 29 and Counting.
29 and Counting. I think a barbershop or a pub or restaurant can be a great place to socialize without an interesting history or newspaper article written about it, or won multiple awards, or whatever nonsense people have decided that a nomination must have. It's a ridiculous standard that nothing can achieve, and that standard wasn't created by Niantic. It was created by the players. It's actually ironic. And my autocorrect changed it to idiotic, and I almost left it. I don't necessarily agree with much that this person posts, but that I absolutely agree with, hands down. Because that's it. That's it. You nailed it right there. You don't need to have 100 rewards to be a great business. You don't have to have 100 rewards or emails or newspaper articles or whatever to, because maybe your city doesn't do that.
Right.
Like, are we really going to punish a excellent restaurant that's in a small town because the Toronto Star or whatever didn't drive 3 hours to write a newspaper article about it, or because Guy Fieri hasn't been there to do Diners, Divers, and Dives? Like, come on. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And I know some people have had their issues with 29 and counting, but nail meet head meet nail on this one. I don't know what the saying is there, but
yeah,
I mean, yeah, I love it. You want to read I think there's one or two more.
This one is from Janet X68. I think our barbershop or pub or restaurant can be a great place to socialize without an interesting history. So they quoted 29 and County. Mm-hmm. They certainly can, but are they always? No. And we're not saying that they are.
Right.
If so, then why have criteria at all? Don't tell reviewers it should be a favorite gathering place. Just say all retail businesses are eligible, and eligibility alone is sufficient to turn a nomination into an accepted way spot. But the guidelines don't say that, which leads reviewers to reasonably conclude that there must be some evidence that this is a great place to socialize. Hence the suggestions on how to provide that, aka sell it. I mean, okay, so like, if it doesn't have a newspaper article or a YouTube video, or like, do you want me to go in there and take a picture of 65 people sitting there eating?
Right.
Like, is that how you want me to sell it? Like, you want me to go in there?
And that can totally be fabricated also. I mean, yeah.
Go in there and with your camera and be like, hey guys, do you like this place? I'm doing it.
And it doesn't have to be a zero sum game. So, you know, it's don't tell the reviewers it should be a favorite gathering place. Just say all retail businesses are eligible. It's not like if it's not one, it's the other. If it's not zero, it's 100. That's where that gray area and that nuance come in. And, you know, we're going to talk on an upcoming episode about nominations that I've sold. I've put a website link in there and a description on where on the webpage to go to find the information for my bridge. And it got denied that they couldn't find it. And I've showed it to 7 people and they've gone to the website and go, yeah, there's the bridge. So I'm going to argue to these people that are saying selling it, people aren't reading it because I've done it. Chris, you've seen it. I have put in the supporting information. Here's this bridge. It's new construction. You're not going to see it on Google Maps. Here's the link to the City of Charlotte's website. If you scroll down to map number 6 and click on that map, there's a red dot that shows right where this bridge is. And everybody else looks at it and they look at the map and go, yeah, there's the bridge. People didn't read it because if they read it, they would have approved it. So to everybody who's saying sell it, you are not reading the supplemental information and you're not clicking on links that we're putting in there because it's not like this is Jamal doing the normal Jamal thing where I'm saying maybe I have proof. I have it in writing that people are not doing it. So anyhow, I'll read the last one. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So on that point, I've brought this restaurant up a dozen times on this podcast and I will continue to bring this restaurant up on this podcast because it fits just so many conversations and it fits this one absolutely perfectly. So this is a 100-year-old restaurant that took me 4 times and an appeal to get approved. Okay. I put in the first time I did the supplemental information, and I might go on a little bit of a rant here, so bear with me. It says Mickey's is a locally owned hotspot for sports fans who like to drop in, enjoy their beverage of choice, and watch the games on television. During the 1950s, Alvin Mickey Michelucci moved this restaurant from Margaret Street to its current location, the former home of the White Owl. This location has been the part of the heart of Plattsburgh for 100 years. Thank you for taking time, blah, 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 blah. So that one got denied. So I tried again, right? Let me get back. Hold on, I'm gonna have to. Hold on, let me. So it took me like several times to get this one approved, right? So then I go, here's a good. So then the second time, I'm like, I believe Mickey's qualifies to be a Pokestop based on being a hidden gem or local hotspot as per Niantic guidelines. Mickey's is locally owned and has been since it was founded in 1955. The location has been a restaurant in one form or another since it originally opened as the White Owl in 1904. During the mid-50s, Alvin Mickey Michelucci moved this restaurant to this location and began work on expanding the restaurant to its current state. The restaurant is currently owned by a local, Neil Fortin, as the restaurant owner passed it down to him by his father. The Fortins have owned the restaurant since the early 80s. You can read its full history here, website. Thank you for your time. I posted this on Reddit when it first got denied, and people were like, I kid you not. People said to me, why are you saying hello to me? I don't care. Don't thank me. Why are you thanking me? It sounds like you're begging. Oh, that's too much words. A website? I'm not going to click on a website. I'm just like what more do you want me to do?
Right.
Like, commandeer a news crew, bring them down to there, and interview every single person who's walking into this restaurant? No, I'm not going to do that. At four times I had to, and then I had to appeal. And people are just like, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. Website link. No one's gonna read it.
No one's gonna read it. No one's gonna read it. Yep.
If you put too much information in there, people look at it and go, "Yeah, I'm not reading that. Generic business."
Yep. Exactly.
You're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yep. I agree. 100%.
So stupid.
All right. I'll read the last one and then we'll move on. All right. So this one is from, is that Josette? And it quotes, it says, at 29 and counting, I don't disagree, but nothing qualifies just because it's a barbershop or a pub or a restaurant. There has to be something about it that makes it a great place to explore, exercise, or be social. It's up to the submitter to sell reviewers on why a specific candidate clears the great place to be bar. In the past, I've often done this by trying to convey the vibe of the place. For one coffee shop, I talked about it feeling like being in someone's living room with comfy couches to socialize, described the funky local art on the walls, and mentioned that they had a free lending library where anyone could come in and borrow a book. I'm seeing three nominations there, but anyways, or donate a book to the library. For a local ramen restaurant, I talked about how it was modeled after the train station in Tokyo, including a live subway map and announcements of arrivals and departures in both Japanese and English. Vending machine, Japanese, English vending machines, and the Japanese snacks and beverages and the decor in my Japanese coworkers described as convincingly authentic. Both were much more interesting than the average coffee shop or ramen shop. The former, because it really was a local social hub, and the latter, because it was an interesting and quirky restaurant that I would take a visit or to. A place doesn't have to have history, have to have won multiple awards or have newspaper articles, although sometimes can be useful to back up what the submitter is saying for things that aren't automatic acceptance, like playgrounds, tennis courts, public art. There needs to be something that makes the place great to be. Now, I don't disagree with that, but at the end of that message there, the submitter says for things that are automatically accepted, playgrounds, tennis courts, public art. That's where I have such a problem with the double standard and the inconsistencies. I can take a picture of a random ass tennis court and nobody will say anything. And I've got like a cultural place where people go to hang out, like a barbershop that's important for the community, and people want to hem and haw on it because it's in a strip mall. But here's this random ass tennis court, and I've got a few of them. You know me, Chris. I will nominate anything. I am not shy. I will see something and I will nominate it. And I have an old broken down tennis court that's literally in the middle of nowhere that I got in the game, and it deserves to be there because it's a tennis court. But I didn't have to work nearly as hard for it as some of the other things that are legitimately in there. So I think as a society, as a Wayfarer society, I've kind of deemed us a society now, we've come up with these rules that, a playground, a tennis court, public art is just okay. You don't have to sell that, but there's some things that you have to sell. And I have a problem with that. I have a fundamental problem with having to sell one thing and not another, because somebody might not think it's eligible. I'm going to go back to what one of the other people said earlier. If the title and if the title, description, and picture are good, put it through. I don't have a problem with that.
No, me either. Nope, me either.
Right. So, God, we are already an hour in. I don't want to take up everybody's Sunday, but a couple of things that I wanted to put out there to everybody. And I'll take this down now. Supporting information is only seen by the reviewer. Just in case people didn't know, for everything you see out there that you play in the game, you don't see the supplement for information. I don't believe, Chris, that people read descriptions. I don't think they do. I think people are out playing, they're out grinding, whether they're making triangles or hitting Pokestops. I don't believe people are reading descriptions. I believe some people read descriptions. See, Princess, talking to you, I know you do. But I don't believe, I would say, I'm going to go back to this again. I always use this, 95% of people. I don't believe 95% of people are reading descriptions on a day in and day out basis. I write funny descriptions. I make stuff up in my descriptions. I don't even read descriptions. Should the picture stand on its own? Yes, that's what's going in the game. That's what's going to be seen in the game. Nothing written in the supporting information will ever make it in the game. We should be judging this by what's going to be in the game and on the Lightship map. Because all I think we're doing is feeding the trolls, feeding the gatekeepers. Are there people out there that are faking nominations that are going to try to get something over on you? Yes. Absolutely. There are people out there that are going to cheat, and we should try to keep the cheaters out of the game. Now, we're going to talk about this on another show. I don't want to get into it now, but do people read the supporting information? I don't believe a lot of people really do, because I've done a couple nominations where I've put things in the supporting nomination that would lead people to a website where they can see exactly what I'm talking about, and it still was marked as mismatched location. So if they're not going to read it and they're not going to follow the link to the proof, why do I have to do it? I don't know. I'm going to get off my soapbox there, Chris. I'll give you the last word on this before we get ready to go to break.
I agree. I don't think that the average player reads in-game descriptions. I do, because I like to read descriptions, but more because I like fixing bad descriptions.
Okay, sure, Amanda.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I don't think the majority of people do. If you are at this point in the show, you will go to Twitter. If you go to Twitter, find our Twitter account. I'm going to put a poll up on Twitter. It should go live probably about half an hour after this show drops, so about 7:30 Sunday morning. Check it out and let us know. Do you read in-game descriptions? Yes, no. I'll put a couple different answers on there. Oh yeah, we want to know. We want to know if you guys read the in-game descriptions. Yep. It'll help me for next week's episode.
Yep. All right. So we had a question up on Spotify last week, and it had to do with Chris's show. And the question was, what is your personal strategy when taking a supporting photo and writing your supporting text? And we had three answers again, Chris. So I'll read the first one. The first one is from M. Stanford, 1985. And they said, using my 0.7 times zoom on my camera for a super wide shot of the POI on either the left or right side, then big up on any pillars it stands upon, exercise, exploration, or social interaction. The second one, well, do you want to read the second one or you want to read the second one?
You go ahead.
Okay. The second one is from Mateo DeMuro. I believe this is 2 weeks in a row for Mateo. I ensure the pick always includes the nomination and adds useful context, placement in relation to the object visible on Google Maps, or info that helps makes the determination easier for the viewer to make. And then the final one is from our friend Scott Robinson, Agent X. Again, if you're not following Agent X on TikTok, go in the show notes, find his link to TikTok. He does fantastic content about Wayfair. Agent X says, always include information that shows what I'm looking at on satellite/street view. I will include the direction I took the picture from and put the reviewer in my shoes so they can see themselves in my position. And I think all of those are fantastic suggestions. And again, we thank you guys for interacting with the poll, and we'll keep doing the poll as long as you guys keep interacting with it. So let's go ahead and go to break and play some dad jokes. And hopefully you guys are liking the dad jokes and the costume changes and the props and all that. So trying to keep it fresh. So go ahead and play the music, and we will see you guys on the other side.
Hi, this is Coach Leo, and you're listening to the Waste Spotters Podcast.
Howdy, it's Alfindi all here, professional trivia host and low-tier streamer, and you're listening to the Waste Spotters Podcast.
This is David from As the Pokeball Turns, and you're listening to the Waste Spotters Podcast.
Are you serious? This again? It's season three.
What did one potato chip say to the other potato chip? Let's go for a dip. What did the kid say to his fingers? I'm counting on you. What did the grape say when he got stepped on? Nothing. Just let out a little whine. What did one hat say to the other hat? You stay here. I'm going on ahead. What did the earthquake say when he was finished? Sorry, y'all. My fault. Did you hear about the guy who got hit in the head with a can of soda? Lucky for him, it was a soft drink. My friend blamed himself for starting a fight club. I told him, hey, don't beat yourself up. That joke is credited to Addison Hart. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Waste Spotters Podcast. You are here with Chris and Jamal, and we really appreciate you guys going through the break. And we want to go ahead and jump right into Waste Spot of the Week.
Let's take a look at a beautiful example of what the Waste Spotters Podcast thinks you should be nominating. We proudly present the Waste Spot of the Week.
All right, so Waste Spot of the Week this week comes to us from friend of the show, Scrawny Meowth. And for those seeing this on YouTube, this was his 998th accepted waste spot in the game. He is now over 1,000, but this was number 998. So if you're on the Wayfair Discussion Discord, give him a shout out. Congratulate him on number 1,000. But number 998 is fantastic. So what you're looking at for the people listening on audio, it's called Picnic Shelter 2 at Leslie Groves Park. And this is just a beautiful scene, right? So it's in the Northwest, and I know that because the ground's wet and it always rains in the Northwest. So it's a kind of a green metallic kind of pavilion shelter, not quite a gazebo, with trees in the background. It looks like it was taken closer to sunset. You've got some orange and some purple in the background. You've got lots of green grass around it and a playground in the back, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say is probably in the game. They're using that for context. And there's some picnic benches under the awning. The whole thing is framed very well. It almost looks like a picture someone took just for a picture and not necessarily for Wayfair. And the description is pavilion and picnic tables for gathering in the central portion of Leslie Groves Park, a scenic riverfront park with walking trails named after the director of the Manhattan Project in the 1940s. So I love this. This is something that I would show to anyone who's getting started in Wayfair as an idea of what you should look for to put in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you nailed it. Like, this is a beautiful picture. It's framed perfectly. And the sunset in the background is just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good old Northwest sunset right there. Because Scrawny Meowth is in the state of Washington. I grew up in the state of Oregon. So every time he posts a picture or something, I'm very familiar with the topography and geography of the area. So that's awesome. But now, Chris, we should probably talk about like the polar opposite of that and a couple of things that we don't necessarily want to see, right?
Absolutely.
I've been working on the Wayfair all the livelong day. I'm working on the way there just to pass the... Uh-oh. Oh, no. Hey, Jamal. I found some coal.
All right. So, coal of the week. This one comes from me. I was doing some reviews, and I saw this, and I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, I hate, like, picking my own for Waste Spot of the Week, but this one was too good. So, the title and the description of this for our audio listeners, audio listeners, is Edward Drive, and the description is old development. Now, the main photo of this, Chris, it's a street sign. Nothing special. It's a street sign. Like, you come up to any intersection, and there's a street sign. Last week, we had a stop sign. This is just a street sign. It looks like it's about to fall over. It's not even at a good angle. It's a bad picture, but it's a street sign. And then when you look at the map, it's like right in the front of someone's yard. So it's PRP. It's a street sign. This is clearly a coal of the week.
Yeah, this is terrible. It's nothing interesting about this at all.
I could sell this 100 times over and it would still never go through, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you want to go to coal number two?
Yeah, let's go to coal number two. Coal number two comes to us from Maddie G, friend of the show, Maddie G, in the Pokemon Professor Network Discord. It is, the title is Decorated Electrical Box. The description is, this is an electrical panel that has been decorated by local artists Strobel here in Dublin, California. This intricate artwork is a bunch of mice popping out of their holes. Decorated is, I think, an overstatement. It kind of looks like someone just stuck stickers to this electrical box.
Not even in any kind of order, just random stickers.
You're just random stickers smacked on a electrical box. So I think that
appears to be in somebody's yard.
That is also in someone's yard. Like, it's, you can literally see Buddy's house in the background. Yeah. So he probably walked out of his house, turned right, smacked some stickers on it, took a super close up photo. Like, you didn't even get the whole electrical box in.
No, you can't, because you would see the rest of the house.
Right.
And it looks like they cropped the photo also. You did it.
100%. This is absolutely, they've cropped this photo and made it smaller to try and fool people. Like, this is, come on, man.
Right.
No.
This is almost one that you would want to, you know, refer to the abuse category, you know, because it's just clearly somebody trying to game the system there.
100%. This is somebody trying to game the system.
But clearly coal of the week.
Terrible.
All right. You got anything else?
No, I am good, man.
All right. We will go ahead and get you guys back out to your Sunday. And hopefully you guys are... Oh, for some of you listening to this, you guys are at the Sinnoh Tour in Los Angeles, California. So I hope you guys are having a great time out there. Catch some good stuff and bring it back home and we can do some trade. So if you guys are in Los Angeles listening to the podcast at the Sinnoh Tour, drop us a line. Let us know how it's going out there. I'll be vicariously following you guys on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it these days. So have fun out there in Los Angeles as you hear the show. All right. So as you guys know, we cannot have an episode of Waste Spotters without shouting out our executive producer, Kate DeCons. Kate, you rock. Again, continue sending me messages at 2 a.m. And when I wake up, I will respond to them. We love everybody, all the patrons. We appreciate what you guys are doing out there for us and everything that you do. We couldn't do this without you guys. And just want to let you guys know we really appreciate you. So for those of you who are listening right now or watching Waste Spotters, if you enjoy what you hear, there's a couple ways that you can tell us. First thing you can do is you can interact with us on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it these days. We try to be incredibly responsive and respond to all of our messages that we get. So you can follow us on Twitter at Waste Spotters. You can follow us on Instagram at Waste Spotters Podcast. And you can also follow us on TikTok at I Make Waste Spots. So a couple people have asked me this, Chris, and you weren't around when this happened, but When Lachlan and I in season one were putting all this together, we weren't communicating with each other. So that's why everything is not at one at Like some places have one at. We were kind of doing things differently. So, but it's been too long now to like go back and change it. So people are going to have three different places that we can get it. So if we ever change the name of the podcast, it'll all be at one place. So, and I think Wastebotters podcast was taken on Twitter, which is why it's just Wastebotters. And then I think Wastebotters was taken on Instagram. That's why it's Wastebotters podcast. And I don't remember how it got, I make Wastebots for TikTok. So anyhow, people have asked and I haven't answered it, but that's why they're all three different if people were wondering. All right. Something that hasn't changed and won't change is the website, www.wastebotters.com. From there, you can get links to everywhere you can download the show. And you can also send us a message directly from the website. And like like Michael did earlier, you can send us an email, wastebotters@pokemonprofessor.com. If you send us an email, we will read it on the show. And we will happily do so. So, and some of you guys are watching this on YouTube. God bless you. And if you're not watching it on YouTube, when this episode is over, audio, go to youtube.com/@wastebotterspodcast. You can see all of the media that we put up there today. You can see our beautiful faces. And eventually I got to get my background fixed. I bought this ginormous clock that's going to go behind me. And I think I said that on the episode we had Lizzie B. Darcy and Sarah Amanda on. Anyway, I might have even showed it. Anyhow, I have this ginormous clock that's going to go up behind me, so it'll take the picture. It'll take the place of that back there. Anyhow, you will only be able to see that on youtube.com/@wastebotterspodcast, and we would appreciate you checking out the YouTube. Now, for our American listeners or for anyone that wants to dial a U.S. phone number, you can call us on the hotline, 704-426-3710. You can leave us a message on the hotline, and if you're lucky, we will play your voicemail on the show. And I have been very good about not answering that phone when it rings, so we don't have any awkward interaction. And finally, if you're not a member of the Pokemon Professor Discord, you can do so by joining for as little as $1 US a month. Enter your native translation of dollars here, but it's $1 US a month. All you need to do is go to PokemonProfessor.com, go to Patreon.com/PokemonProfessor, and you can join for as little as $1 US a month. You will have access to the entire family of shows across the Pokemon Professor Network, including Wastebotters, Special Conditions, Gotta Watch Them All, Purified Podcast, and Lured Up. It's a fantastic place full of fantastic people. And we also, one of the biggest perks of that is every Monday night at 9 o'clock Eastern time, we have a Zoom call with all the patrons, and all the patrons and all the hosts are on the call, and we sit around and we shoot the breeze for an hour or so, and you get to know all the hosts on the network, and we all recorded a little bit that's going to be on the next episode of Lured Up. So make sure you tune into Lured Up to watch it and to hear it. And you'll be able to see everybody on there. Last things, guys, before we let you go, can you do me a favor? On the podcatcher you're listening to us now on, can you go in and give us a rating? 5 stars are the best stars for me, and it really helps out the show. And if you want to be a superstar, write a review on a podcatcher of your choice that allows you to write a review. We would love it if you did that, as well as give us 5 stars. That would be super cool, and I would give you a sticker the next time that I saw you. With that, I want to thank you for listening to Wastebotters. And remember, what's a few meters between friends?